Hello and welcome to episode 76 of the Desi Outsiders podcast. I'm Ankita.
And I'm Meenal.
Dr. Meenal.
Or Dr. Viz or Mrs. Viz or
Dr.
Mrs.
Viz.
Dr. Meenal or Mrs. Dr. Meenal Viz. I prefer any.
Why Mrs., by the way?
Oh, did I say Mrs.? I meant Miss. Not yet. Well, people are going to think like some cat's out of the bag. I'm actually still single, by the way, so it's okay.
Well,
it's
we never know. We never know. You never know with me, no. You never know. It could be Mrs. Viz.
Mrs.
But
Dr.
anyway, we're here to say, after a gap of about 4 weeks, we're here to say that we're here to stay. Because we haven't released an episode in the whole month of August, and that was never the plan. So first of all, sorry, dear listeners, and thank you for your patience.
And thank you for tuning in, and thank you for coming back. I have been quite busy for the last couple of months, and so has Ankita. There was a time, a very beautiful time in our lives, where we had a lot of time to dedicate to the podcast. Ankita was working from home, and I was a very, very carefree student, and I missed probably 80% of my lectures. Don't know how I managed to qualify as a doctor, but that's none of anybody's concerns, because I probably won't be treating a lot of you anyway. But we had a lot of time of our own, and we were very flexible, and you know, we had plenty of time to chase up people, get people on the show for interviews, chase up their managers, chase up the manager's manager, the manager's manager's boy, the manager's manager's sister. Wherever we had to go, we did it.
Yeah.
And
I don't want to mention any names on this. Like, I don't want to drop any names on this podcast. But just quickly to interject, we recently, I think a few months ago, we interviewed someone who is in a very similar line of work, and she also has to liaise with a lot of these managers and middlemen. And she also shared with us how she feels personally that a lot of these middlemen are the ones holding our Desi celebrities back. Because, you know, if you look at our personal experience, right? Every time we have directly corresponded with a guest on our show, every single time they've been so professional. There was no fuss or drama about them showing up. They would give us dates, they would show up, they would do this amazing recording, and then they would go away. But most of the time, and I don't want to say all the time, most of the time when we've had to liaise with middlemen and managers, that's when we've had trouble.
Yeah, and the thing is, I don't know about you, Ankita, but for me, Desi Outsiders has been a project that's been close to both of our hearts. And you've been, we'll talk about it in a moment, but you've been busy for the last couple of weeks, and so have I. And we haven't really had much communication with each other. And although I know that you will always give this 100%, and not just us, Ankita, let's not forget Shane is there as well. And I will also give it 100%, but because we've had this lack of contact, lack of communication, a part of me felt like this was just slipping through the cracks now. And a solution had to be found immediately. Now, the problem we were having, our very dear listeners, was that getting people on the show was very difficult. And Ankita's working around a full-time job now. I'm going to start full-time. As a doctor with only 20% medical knowledge, I start in October, October the 10th. So once I start that job, I'll have night shifts, I'll have weekend shifts. We're trying to work around three different people. My schedule, Ankita's schedule, and our guest schedule, plus a potential time difference. And it's just crazy.
Also Shane's schedule, just saying.
Yeah, sorry. My sincere apologies to Mr. Shane Girish.
who's editing this today. As we speak.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm being so formal today. even Ankita, last week, we were about to have a guest on the weekend, and I made a mess up because I was so busy. I totally forgot that I was away. I wasn't available on the day that I proposed to the guest, and I just messed up another potential guest on our show. So things have been very, very difficult, and now we're back, but we're back with a new look and a whole, well, I think it's a new chapter for Desi Outsiders, Ankita.
New or old, it depends on how you see it, because
it's a renewed chapter.
Renewed version. We're reverting to what we started out with when we didn't have a lot of experience doing what we were doing. But now, hopefully, the experience we've gained speaking to so many amazing people will really help us give something valuable back to you guys. So we're basically going to go back to a system where it's going to be Meenal and I discussing a topic, having topical conversations about our culture. culture, about society, about something that's happening in the world, about our own lives, you name it. We're going to talk about things, and we're going to show up every single week to do this. But we will get to that in a bit. We will discuss in more detail what we have in store for you. But first of all, first things first, congrats on the job, Meenal.
Thanks, Ankita. I'm really excited to start working. And I think now I'm going through a transition period where I'm moving country again. And it's a bit strange because, like, I just realized that I haven't really lived at home since the age of 18. So now I'm 25 and I've been at home for the last 3 months, possibly the longest period of time I've been home since I left at 18. And I've developed such a close attachment to my parents now. And I feel I'm with them every single day. My mom more than my dad, because my dad's working, but I'm always with my mom. She's usually at home most of the time, and I'm spending so much time with them. I'm trying to spend more time with them because I know that I won't get this time back. But I started to really understand what they're going through as parents whose children have moved away, and as parents who are now at a stage where, well, one of their children, well, they have two children, so my brother. So my brother is settled in the US. I'm going to be settled in the UK. Now they're just a bit like, well, what do we do now? You know, sort of thing. And sitting down and talking to my parents, I've actually, you know, I've really started to understand what it's like to actually work, to pay bills and to sustain a household and to raise a family. Because obviously I'm starting at zero right now when I start working. And already I'm not stressed about money, but you start budgeting in your head, right? Okay, I'm earning this much, then this week I'll spend this much, and I have enough money to do this, I have enough money to go on holiday from time to time. But, you know, talking to my dad about these things and my mom about these things, I really starting to understand the gravity of the situation that they were in when they moved from India to Gibraltar 30 years ago, and they had nothing. And to build what they've built from zero, is really just incredible. I have so much more respect for them. And that's why I think it's so important to spend time with your parents and have these sort of conversations when you have the chance to, because the last 3 months have been a big 180 degrees turn in our relationship. Because when you start, and I mean, you'll see this in friendships, in anything, even with us, Ankita, the more we knew about each other, the more we connected. And as I've mentioned in like the very beginning episodes, in our pilot episodes, I never really had that connection with my parents because it was always, Meenal, you just have to study and just get on with your life. We didn't have a chance to sit down and talk about life. But now because things have settled, I'm almost settling into my new life, my parents have been much more open. So the last 3 months have been really great because I've learned so much about my parents. I've connected a lot better with them. And it's a shame that I have to leave now because I know I'm going to leave them behind. And I also know that a big part of them has a big relief that, okay, now Meenal can just move on. We don't have to worry about her anymore. So that's been the last 3 months.
Yeah, I'm glad they feel that way. Yeah. It's nice. It must be nice for them to see that you're the younger one and you're the one who's been studying forever, basically, because you're in medicine. For them to think that, okay, our son is settled. He's in the US. He has a stable job, whatever. But our younger child is also settled now.
Yeah. So I think the last 3 months it's been emotional. It's been frustrating as well because I've been looking for a new job. I think this was the last episode we did, didn't we? When I spoke about the difficulties of finding a new job and the struggles. And to be honest, Ankita, I've been quite lucky that I've managed to find a job within just what? I think within 5 weeks of applying. And
Was this the only interview that you did?
Well, I had three interviews lined up. And I was planning to do all three. And I did my first one in Northampton, which is a perfect location because it's only 45 minutes out of London. I think going to London, I think maybe would have been a bit too overwhelming for me. It's a big city. There's a lot going on. It's very expensive. So I was trying to look around London and Northampton just seemed perfect. So within an hour of doing the interview, they call me and they said, like, we want you to start working as soon as possible.
That's amazing.
So
that just worked out so perfectly.
Yeah, and then the other two interviews, I just emailed them very politely and I said, look, I found another job, but thank you for the invitation.
thanks, but no
thanks. A big part of me just wanted to just not show up because a lot of hospitals I've called and contacted, they've just not told me that I haven't been called for an interview. So I kind of wanted to do the same thing back to these guys. But then I thought, hey, who knows, I might end up working one of these hospitals one day. So let's just keep it as civil as possible. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I'm moving next week, Ankita. So my big move is happening next week.
Yep, and I'm really looking forward to it because you're finally coming to the UK. You're going to be closer. We're going to be able to hopefully meet up much more often.
That sounds like a nightmare.
We're in the same country now. Why?
No, I'm just kidding.
That's horrible that we'll have to hang out a little bit more.
I know, it really
from
sucks.
Now on.
Yeah,
but it's so funny that this is the year when you're moving out of Europe and you're coming to the UK, and we're going to be able to hopefully meet up more often. That is if our work weeks line up in a way that we can meet up, because neither of us has fixed weekends off or anything. But this is also the year when I finally managed to get a multiple entry visa to Europe.
So that means that you can go anywhere?
I can go anywhere in Europe for 1 year. And that's not something that's super easy to... it's not that it's difficult. It's just that it's very irritating to go through the entire process, because we need to show a lot of, proof that we have this much money in our bank accounts, 3 months of earnings and blah, blah, blah. And we had to book a holiday. And we knew that getting in through France is the easiest way to do it. So we booked a holiday in the south of France. The French embassy is a lot more lenient in terms of this. And this is probably interesting for people with third world passports like myself and Shane, who live in the UK and literally just have to cross the English Channel, a relatively small water body to get into mainland Europe, to visit all of these beautiful beaches and whatnot. We need to show proof that we have a steady stream of income coming into our bank accounts every month for the past 3 months. We have to show them proof that we have booked our flights and we have booked our accommodation, and that we are not dependent on anyone there in order to go and survive the holiday. We need to show all of this to them with no guarantee that we have the visa. So we give all of these documents to them, and they take our passports, and they can send it back sometimes with no visa. That rarely happens, but why? You get the point that it's quite irritating to
I'm quite pissed off that you got this now when I'm not in Prague anymore. You could have come.
Exactly. I could only afford it now.
Yeah.
I genuinely could only afford it now, because the visa process for each person is close to 100 quid. And I'm sure, it's not that I couldn't afford it previously, but I would have felt incredibly guilty doing it, because it's not even flights or anything. It's just, there's no guarantee that I'll be able to use that visa to travel as much as I'd like,
But you don't need a visa. So when you go from Scotland to United Kingdom, it's easy for you to travel, right?
Yeah, that's basically United Kingdom. So Scotland, Wales, England and Northern Ireland, no visa. Although they're 4 different countries, but to go to mainland Europe and to cross the English Channel, basically.
So you can come
and to go to Southern Ireland.
So now you can come to Gibraltar, but you need this entry visa.
Oh, actually, I could always come to Gibraltar, because I had a visa for the UK.
Right. So it's got to do with this Schengen visa or something like that, right?
Yeah, Schengen area visa is completely different from British, like UK visa. So if I have UK permit, then I can come to Gibraltar, because it's basically Gibraltar is a British territory, is it?
Okay, yeah, it is, but I didn't realize that there were so many visas involved.
I
think, honestly, Ankita, I have a British passport, it's never crossed my mind to see what people have to go through to travel. Well, my dad, when he came to Gibraltar, he obviously had the Indian passport, and he obviously needed a visa to travel, etc. So what happened was that when he was in Gibraltar, Ankita, he was living here at a time where the Spanish border was closed because of political reasons, which meant that he couldn't even travel into Spain. So my dad always tells me, he said, Meenal, I was literally stuck in this island for 10 years because you couldn't afford to go back home. So he had to save up money and he had to do all sorts to be able to travel back home. And I just can't imagine being stuck in one place for 10 years because of of your passport. And the crazy thing about these passports is, Ankita, is just, you, it's not in your control. It's just where you were born. Like, if you're born in India, then too bad, you got an Indian passport. If you're born in the UK, then well, you know, well done. Good for you. You got a British passport.
That's the thing I was thinking the other day, because it's been such a triumph for me and Shane that, oh, we have a visa now. We can travel. Oh, my God, the opportunities, they're endless. And we're booking all of these holidays every 2 or 3 months because we want to make the most of this limited time period that we have where we can travel to mainland Europe without having to renew the visa and go through the entire process again. And I was speaking to a colleague of mine who was telling me about this website where, you know, it's like Airbnb, but basically you don't pay money. It's called trustedhousesitters.com, where you basically house sit for someone. So you take care of their home, you clean, you take care of their pets or whatever, and you don't pay them to stay in their house. So if they go on holiday and then you go and live in their house, then it's completely free for you. Anyway, she was telling me that there are these amazing, beautiful penthouses in Kuala Lumpur and all of these places. And I said, but you have a British passport. Don't you need a visa to travel to Malaysia? And she was like, huh, visa? And it's not even crossed her mind, because a visa is not an issue for someone who has a first world passport. Yeah. In most cases, you guys can just go to a country and get your, you know, entry visa stamped right then and there. It's like visa upon arrival that you get. So and again, it's not in your control. So you could get a visa stamped for the exact duration of your stay, or you can get a visa stamped for, say, 2 years. But still, it doesn't mean that you have to think and plan in advance before you book your tickets. You can just go there and still get the visa. But on the other hand, if Shane and I need to travel anywhere, the first thing we look at is, oh God, do we need a visa to go there? How difficult is it going
to
be?
Yeah, that's even for me to go to the US, I would need a visa. But apparently I can get it done in 10 minutes. And I know, it costs like $12. And even for me, that's just, oh my God, I have to get a visa. That's how spoiled I am.
Yeah, and it's not that expensive. But then, you know, another colleague of mine who traveled to the US this year, I think he has a British passport. He's from Africa, but he mentioned that they had asked him for his social media profiles. I don't know if you came across anything of that sort.
Well, I haven't booked my ticket yet, so maybe it will happen at some point. So
I don't know. I thought it was weird, but the conclusion we came to was that they want to see if you're anti-Trump. I don't know, but why would they need to see your social media accounts to go through what you're sharing?
Not even kidding. On my social media, there are photos of me dressed up as a terrorist in a fancy dress party. Maybe I should delete those. I should delete those, right?
Oh my God, that was simpler times, wasn't it? Like, literally.
Yeah. That was when you didn't have to worry about these things. Wow, I should delete that before I apply for my visa to the US.
Maybe we shouldn't go into a lot of detail about what you were wearing and what you called yourself when you were dressed like that. Let's not go into that.
Yeah, let's go back to the podcast. One thing I would like to hear from our listeners is that we want to know what kind of topics you want to talk about. When we had our month break, Ankita, you realize as well, and I realize that a lot of people were going back. No, actually, people weren't going back. People were starting from the beginning, and we're getting a lot more positive feedback from those initial episodes than we are from our interviews. Not to say that people don't enjoy our interviews. A lot of people enjoy our interviews. A lot of people take a lot back home from that. But people tend to enjoy our stories and our opinions. And there are an array of topics that we can discuss. I mean, the list is endless. And what we would like is for you guys to actually tell us, oh, for example, this week we had the Serena Williams controversy, which we will get into in the next couple of minutes.
Of course we will.
And that's something that we can talk about. And there's so many things happening that we'd love to hear from you. So please get in touch with us. It's very simple. Get in touch with us through Instagram or Twitter, or just drop us a mail. And we're very happy to discuss things. And in fact, what we love even more is when we get asked questions that we don't know much about, because it allows us to educate ourselves and it challenges us as well. So that's what we want to continuously have. I mean, the Serena Williams thing, Ankita, I'm pretty sure you probably went through the same thing, but I learned so much about tennis and I learned so much about the sport. Yeah, I learned so much about the sport.
I didn't learn much about the sport. I was mostly reading up at so many conflicting, you know, conversations about this happening.
So, Ankita, the funny thing is, was that this happened on Saturday. I was in Lisbon on the weekend. I scored a 50 partnership. I was playing cricket. I just want to throw that inside. Hashtag humble brag. Hashtag future Indian cricketer. Hashtag Snehal Pradhan, please hire me. Anyway, back to Serena Williams. When I heard this this topic, I was playing cricket with a bunch of grown men. And the first thing that came out of their mouth was, oh, Serena Williams probably isn't the greatest of all time player. So immediately people were jumping to conclusions that because she did what she did. And now, Ankita, the funny thing is that those initial comments that I heard and that I read, it sort of changed the angle as to which I looked at the whole story. If I just opened the news and I looked at the story and someone said, okay, Serena Williams did this, what are your thoughts? Without anyone giving me their opinion, without anyone telling me how they feel, I'm sure I would have been able to look at it in a more neutral point of view. But the problem with this was that it happened, and I read up on it a bit later because of obviously time difference, US Open sort of thing happened. I only read it the next day that there were thousands of articles. And what happens in this kind of situation, Ankita, is that editors and newspapers, they want to release the information as soon as possible. So they'll tell their writers that, okay, this has just happened. We've got 2 hours, you know, put something out there. And the more I read up on it, the more I realized, well, you have to go back to the fundamental question. And I think this is a fundamental question that should be asked in every argument, whether it's Serena Williams, whether it's any political problem, anything. You have to go down and say, what is the truth? What actually happened? And when I go back to it, when I look at it personally, Serena Williams was coached. Now, people say she wasn't aware that she was coached. And I just like to let everybody know that it's happened many, many times where tennis players are playing tennis and the coach coaches them from the stands. But the rules of tennis say that the person who has to be punished in this case is the player. Now, when this happens, the umpire, it's happened many times, Ankita. I mean, of course, there are coaches sitting on the stands and they're itching to tell the players what to do. And coaching does happen. Yeah. And umpires just give a soft warning saying like, hey, guy, you know, you just watch out. You can't do this. Mm-hmm. And that's what the umpire was doing to her, and she blew it up. So the truth, now back to our question, what is the truth? The truth is that she blew up a situation that didn't need to be blown up at all.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the truth again, the truth is that many coaches have coached their players. Many coaches have gone through this. The truth is that the rules of tennis say that the coach can't coach from the stands, and the person to be punished is a tennis player. Now, if you look at it from a neutral point of view, I don't think Serena Williams should have exploded like that.
Yeah. And this is not the first time she's exploded like that either. In the 2004 US Open as well, she you know, completely exploded, since that's the word we're using now. And I think, was it 2009 after that?
Yeah. And I think even just this weekend, Agatha, when she started using her daughter in her argument in the middle of a tennis game, I think that's quite ridiculous.
But you know, that said, the number of times I have rolled my eyes when people commenting on this, like you said, instead of focusing on the truth and what actually happened, there were so many opinion pieces. And when people started giving their opinions and commenting on it, the number of times I've actually rolled my eyes because either they attack her from a sexist point of view or they go to the other extreme of being racist. And if it's, whether it's in a depiction of her in a comic strip or if it's a depiction, I just don't understand why people can't have a civil conversation about what actually happened without having to bring up race or gender.
Well, Ankita, the biggest issue I have with this is that this kind of issue, You've got Serena Williams, who's obviously made a mistake, and I still stand by that. She made a mistake. She shouldn't have done what she had done, and she should apologize to the umpire for blowing up like that, because you shouldn't speak to any umpire like that in that way. You have to be respectful. And I know what it's like, because I play table tennis as well. There've been times when I've been frustrated. I've kicked the table and I've received a yellow card for it, and I've put my hands up and said, okay, I deserve that. Because that's just the game. Now, when this happened, Ankita, there were people writing many, many articles on this. We had Billie Jean King, right? One of the greatest female tennis players of all time. What frustrated me the most was that she
and came feminist out. Icons.
Yeah, and her and many other feminist icons came out and defended Serena. Now, Billie Jean wrote a piece on the Washington Post, and she said that what Serena Williams went through, I totally understand because I went through it too. Now, Billie Jean King was playing tennis at a totally different time, in a totally different generation, where women were probably not even voting. Women probably weren't even given the same freedom at work. So many different things. And
they didn't, now they didn't have the right to have bank accounts at that time.
Yeah. So now Billie Jean is defending Serena by looking at it from her generation. And that's absolutely redundant. You can't do that. You have to look at it from the 21st century and say, okay, Serena Williams is a feminist and she represents strong women. The whole thing about Serena, Ankita, is hashtag strong black women. That's what Serena stands for. And she's now, Billie Jean King comes in and starts defending, and she used the same sexism card and racism card as well. Now, if you look at it from a man's perspective, if you look at it from a man, they're just going to think, well, this is just another scenario where a woman has used her gender as an excuse to get away with something. Next time there is harassment at the workplace, next time a woman is getting underpaid, it might just end up being, it's like the boy who cried wolf. How seriously are people going to take us if we keep using the same card, and we're using the same card unnecessarily as well, and we're abusing it?
And just to quickly point out that we mentioned the last two explosions that Serena has had in the US Open itself, I think in 2004 and the year, I can't remember the second time it happened, but it was to female umpires that she had these explosive reactions to, and she said horrible things to. And this was the first time it was a male umpire. So immediately she's like, oh, this is sexism. And you just go, in your mind, you just go, please stop, because this is starting to get cringe. And the moment when I especially felt that it was starting to get cringe is when she made the speech about how she is standing up for women, and how maybe she won't succeed this time, but someone who comes after her will be successful in campaigning in this way or whatever. And it just was starting to get so cringe at that point.
Well, Ankita, the really sad thing about this is that this wasn't just a match where Serena Williams did what she did, but this was an amazing victory for Naomi Osaka. And the whole spotlight has been taken away from her. Now, when you look at a lot of these articles, Ankita, when you look at the cover picture, when you look at the titles, all you see is Serena, Serena, Serena. I don't see any photo. Have you realized that the title has Serena?
Yeah.
The title makes Serena look very innocent, or the photo shows a photo of Serena crying, or I don't know, but it's just Serena, Serena, Serena. This poor lady Naomi Osaka, who played exceptionally well, hasn't got the attention that she deserves. And I do understand that Serena at the very end tried to make the crowd divert their attention to Osaka's win as opposed to Serena's problems, and which was very good as a sportswoman. I think that's a nice thing to do. I don't know, you were talking about the cartoon earlier, right? Now, for those of you...
The Australian cartoonist,
I'm really passionate about this because it's women in sport, and I play sport, and I feel like this whole topic has just gone out of hand, and I just want to bring everybody back down to earth. Serena Williams has made skits with Mad TV, so a bit like SNL sort of thing. And you've seen that, right? And she takes the piss out of Moresmo, who is quite a big lady, she takes a piss out of her. And in another clip, she calls an Asian man ping pong.
Wasn't this lady represented by a man?
Yeah. This Moresmo lady, was represented by a man, and the whole joke was that this Moresmo tennis player was quite big and quite strong, and a man came and represented it. Now, when I first saw the cartoon, I was like, well, a white man can't really joke and draw about a black woman. But now if you look at Serena Williams, you have a black strong woman making fun of either Moresmo, who's a white lady, or an Asian man who I think in the skit was a ball boy. So I don't think that we can even look at it with the same, because it's funny, because when this whole thing happened, I kept telling everybody, why are you looking at it with a sexism card, with a racism card? When this cartoon came out, I played the same cards again. And it's just because in the last few years, that's what's been happening. And I did it unknowingly as well. And then I had to bring myself back, like, Mila, you're just doing what everybody else is doing. So if Serena Williams has done all of this, and Ankita, I'm sure people will keep digging dirt on her. A lot more is to come, I'm sure.
But my main issue, just to go back to the cartoon, for anyone who doesn't have context, this was a cartoon by Mark Knight, who happens to be an Australian cartoonist. And I think he works for the Herald. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on this. But he made a cartoon of Serena Williams throwing a tantrum, and there's a little pacifier lying on the ground. And, you know, she's this black woman who's completely losing her shit. And then in the background, there's a blonde woman who is playing against her. Did you notice that, Mino?
Yeah. I saw the whole thing. Yeah. Well, also in that cartoon as well, I don't know if you saw the text that was written where I think the umpire says, "Can you please let her win?"
Yeah.
And that just shows, again, it's taking away from Osaka's amazing play, because she won it from her own merit. She didn't win because Serena lost a tantrum. She didn't win because Serena got pissed off at the umpire. Yeah. So this cartoon, yes, it pissed me off that he drew Serena as the way he drew her. But also he made Naomi Osaka look like a beggar. Like, she stole that win and she didn't steal that win.
I know.
She 100% deserved it.
Like some random blonde woman in the background who's just basically a prop, and she's not even important. She's not important to the story anymore because the story is all about Serena Williams throwing a tantrum and putting her pacifier down and crying.
And, you know, there was someone on Twitter, I can't remember who, I think it was this morning that I read it. Someone wrote, "What has Serena Williams done for feminism specifically?" And that, that got me angry, because Ankita, I think that as feminists or as equalists or even as gay activists or whatever, these movements, these social movements come around as a collective effort. One person hasn't created feminism. One person hasn't created the LGBTQ community. It's a whole thing. So you can't just point fingers at Serena and saying she's not a feminist or she doesn't do whatever, because feminism, equality, all of these things are a collective effort. Nobody does one specific thing. Ankita and I, for example, are feminists and we're equalists, but we don't rule the movement. We just play a small role.
We're just a small cog in the machine.
And a lot of people playing the same role that we are, or a similar role to what we are, adds up to a collectively big effort. So this whole thing that people saying that, Serena's not a feminist, that is bullshit. Because as a feminist, just because you make one mistake doesn't mean you're not a feminist. Just because you've messed up on the big screen globally doesn't mean you're not a feminist. And despite all I've said today, despite everything, despite the fact that I still stand by my original opinion, which is that Serena Williams was wrong. She should apologize to the umpire, and she has a history of tantrums. I still believe that Serena Williams is a great player, and she has inspired me personally, because I'm an athlete as well. I play table tennis. I understand what she must be going through. But don't forget, she just gave birth a year ago, and she had a very difficult pregnancy. She's shown women around the world that you can deliver your child and you can still get back on the court and still play. And you can translate that into a businesswoman, a businesswoman who's given birth, and she can go back into her work. And she's really inspired and encouraged people that being a mother doesn't put a full stop to all your dreams. So I still stand by Serena with the fact that everything that she's done, her inspiration and encouragement, but what she did was wrong. And I still think that she should apologize to the umpire. I think everybody needs to just stop playing the sexism card and racism card and just look at it from a neutral point of view.
Yeah.
And stop using this as
just
a way
to round things
attack
up. It's not about it's not about the racism thing. It's just about the fact that somebody made a mistake, somebody was told off, somebody threw a tantrum, and that was uncalled for.
Yeah, and
end
I
of
also
story.
Think that everyone needs to stop just using this as a way to bash her. Because usually everyone uses Serena as a way of, oh my god, Serena's done this, Serena's amazing, and all this. No one has really, I mean, maybe in her past tantrums or previous tantrums, maybe people have bashed it, but now people are just using this as a, well, as a field day. And I think that's just really wrong and really disrespectful. And this is not what journalism is all about. And all the journalists out there who are playing the wrong cards, a shame on you, really, because that's not what journalism is about, because you're putting the wrong idea to kids and to people out there. And you're doing a very bad job, if I'm being honest.
Yep. So was our rant for about 20 minutes.
Well, more like Minal's rant.
Coming back to our podcast, I just want to, because we're going to quickly round this up soon, I just want to quickly go back and thank the new 5,000 listeners who joined us in the month of August, despite the 5,000? Fact that we didn't even release a single episode in August, which is astonishing that we haven't released any episode in August and we still got new 5,000 listeners. This is, we're feeling so grateful, so humble. Thank you so much for joining us. And also, it is during this new...
I actually had no idea we had 5,000 listeners in August.
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
And it's just to go back to this new flood of listeners that we have got, that they are the ones who've been listening to our initial, you know, previous episodes from the beginning and giving us feedback that they enjoy our banter. And we're very happy that you could relate to some of the stories we share, some of the topics we discuss, and even the way Minal and I just, you know, bounce off of each other. So thank you so much for tuning in. For anyone who's new to our podcast, we just want to go back and reiterate that the whole premise of our podcast is that we're two South Asian women living in the UK. We're looking at our South Asian culture and society from an outsider's lens. And what makes things even more interesting, at least to us, is the fact that we've both had completely different backgrounds and upbringings. Minal, we like to joke, Minal was born and raised in Europe. She grew up with white friends and European friends and classmates, but she went back to a very Desi traditional strict home where she was, you know, learning bhajans and learning how to read and write in Hindi, although that was not a part of her syllabus, playing tabla and whatnot. And on the other hand, you had me. I was born and raised in India. I moved around quite a bit in India. And although my family was really, really into bhajans, my parents... thankfully, we're a lot more liberal in terms of dating and education, like what I wanted to study or what I wanted to do with my life, etc. Completely different backgrounds. So it's very interesting. And we hold two different kinds of passports. So that's also another topic for another day when we can discuss travel, maybe, on the Desi Outsiders.
Yeah. And Ankita, I think my head is still in the whole Serena Williams thing, but I just want to add one thing for our listeners. I want to know what our listeners think about equal pay for women and men in sport. This could be something we discuss next week or in the future, because, again, this is a whole another black hole that we could get into, because I discussed this a lot.
Not just in sport, but also in any industry.
Okay, yeah, industry. And we are very happy to listen to your comments and feedback. Please, please send us what you think, because, again, as I said, you could give us a whole new point of view that we never even came across. And I think that for us is really great, because it gives us an opportunity to learn. Having said that... having guests on our show will still happen. We're still going to try our best to schedule with our guests. Just bear with us and please be patient with us, because we are trying to juggle our busy schedules as well, because I'm trying to save lives and Ankita is trying to save the internet, I think, at Google or something like that. So
basically neither Minal nor I have
basically we're heroes anymore. We're heroes and we're trying to save the world.
That's our side hustle. We don't have weekends anymore. We don't have two continuous days off at the same time anymore. So, that is the main problem, that we don't have a traditional weekend. We don't have days off at the same time. And our guests, who are based in other countries and other time zones most of the time, they don't have availability when we are available. It's just really, it's getting very difficult. It was not planned by us to not show up in August. It was just that we couldn't get guests at the same time, and
we just had to hit a bit of a reset button, and here we are. Please send us all your feedback. We'd love to hear from you. You can find us on social media, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I just like to add that all those funny tweets are made by #Minal and Ankita. is more involved with Instagram and the pretty picture side. So she makes all the pretty pictures. So just drop us a message. We're always available. You can also drop us a mail to mail@desioutsiders.com. And please stay tuned because we have amazing news to release on Monday. And I think all of you will be really excited to hear this because we're really excited to tell you about it. I'm surprised none of us have actually let it slip out of our mouths in this episode. So we'll see you next week. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for sticking by us. And until next week, I'm Meenal.
And I'm Ankita.
And we are the Desi Outsiders.
Bye. Hello and welcome to episode 76 of the Desi Outsiders podcast. I'm Ankita.
And I'm Meenal. Or Dr. Meenal. I prefer Dr. Viz.
Oh my god, you just ruined my entire intro.
Keep going.
Bloopers.